There was once in a far country a king. He had a queen, and her name was Silvertree, and a daughter, and her name was Goldtree. On a day of days, Goldtree and Silvertree went walking. They came to a little glen, and in the bottom of that glen there was a brook. In that brook there was a fish. "Oh, Trouty, Trouty, my bonny Trouty," Silvertree said to it, "am I not the fairest one in all the world?" "No," said the little fish, "you are not." "Who then?" asked Silvertree. "It is your daughter, Goldtree," the fish replied. Straightway, Silvertree went running to the castle. She went up to her room, she lay down on the bed, she told the servants she was sick unto death. Servants sent for the king, and when he came to see his wife, she told him that she must have the heart and liver of her daughter Goldtree to eat, or she would not be well again. Now it happened that a prince had come across the seas seeking Goldtree's hand in marriage, and at once the king sent his daughter away with him. And then he called for a servant, and he sent that servant into the hills. He told that servant to kill a goat and to bring back its heart and liver. And when the servant did this, he commanded him now to take the heart and liver up to his wife, his queen, Silvertree. And Silvertree ate of that heart and liver. She got up from her bed and she said that she was cured. Goldtree and the prince lived happily. But again on a day of days, Silvertree went walking. She came to the glen and to the brook, and there once more there was the little fish. "Oh, Trouty, Trouty, my bonny Trouty," she said to it. "Am I not the fairest one now in all the world?" "Oh, no," said the fish, "you are not." "Who then?" said Silvertree. "It is your daughter, Goldtree." "My daughter Goldtree is dead, and I have eaten of her heart and liver." "No," said the little fish, "your daughter Goldtree lives yet across the waves." Straightway Silvertree went running back to the castle, and she went to the king, and she begged of him that she might have a ship of the fleet, that she could sail across the seas, that she might go and see her darling daughter, her darling Goldtree, once again. To this the king agreed. On the day when she would come to the prince's land, it happened that he was out hunting. Goldtree was by herself in their castle. She looked out. She saw the ship. She knew that it was of her father's fleet, and she went running through all the corridors and passages, calling out to all who might hear her, "It is my mother! It is my mother who is coming to kill me!" Servants at once came to her aid. "We will not let her," they said. "We will lock you in a room." This they did. Silvertree was steering the ship with her own hand. She brought it onto the beach. She jumped forth, and she too now came running through the castle. She cried out that Goldtree, her daughter, should come to greet her, for it had been so long since they had seen each other. "I cannot come," cried Goldtree from the room in which she was locked. "I cannot come, for I am locked away." "At least," said Silvertree, "at least you might put your finger through the keyhole that I might kiss it." Goldtree put her finger through the keyhole, and at once Silvertree stabbed it with a dart of poison. Goldtree fell over as if dead, and Silvertree went back to the ship, and Silvertree sailed home. When the prince returned from the hunt and found out what had happened, His grief was so great that he said that Gold-tree should not be buried. Her body should be laid carefully upon a bed, and she should be kept there forever in a room. For a while his grief was such that he could do nothing. But in time his ministers began to counsel him that he must take another wife, and this he did. He loved his second wife, and she loved him. He trusted her. He gave her the keys to all the rooms in all the castle, but he said that she should not go into that one room, although he did not tell her why. For a while, she obeyed his command. But again he was hunting. And she thought, surely the prince was a good man. There could be nothing wrong there that she could not see. And so she put the key into the lock, and she went into the room. And there she saw a beautiful young woman lying as if she was asleep. She went forward to rouse her, shake her just a little. And when she did so, the dart of poison fell from Gold-tree's finger, and she came to herself. When the prince returned, it seemed that he was weary and sick at heart. His second wife asked him what was the matter. "Oh, it is nothing," he said. "Nothing but that I do so long to see my darling Gold-tree yet again." "Go into the room that was locked," said the second wife. "Go there, and you will see what you will see." The prince did go into the room, and there he saw his darling Gold-tree come to herself again. He took her into his arms. He held her. And then, as they were standing there together, they heard a noise, just a little movement coming from the doorway. They turned and saw that it was the second wife. "This was your first wife. Return to you," she said. "She is returned to you, so I must leave." "Oh, no," said the prince. "Let us not do that. Let us live, all three of us, together." And this they did. They lived, all three of them, together. And they were happy. But again there came a day of days. And again on that day of days, Silver-tree went walking. And she came to the glen. And she came to the brook and to the little fish. "Oh, Trouty, Trouty, my bonny Trouty, am I not now the fairest one in all the world?" she said. "Oh, no," said the fish, "you are not." "Who then?" said Silver-tree. "It is your daughter, Gold-tree. My daughter, Gold-tree, is dead, and I have stabbed her with a dart of poison." "Your daughter, Gold-tree, lives yet across the waves." Again, Silver-tree went running to the king, and again she begged him for a ship of his fleet, that she might go and see her darling daughter, her darling Gold-tree. Had it not been 2 years, was that not a long, long time? And the king agreed. And again she took that ship, and she steered it with her own hand. And again, on the day when the ship would come to the prince's land, he was away at the hunt. And Gold-tree looked out, and she saw the ship coming. And she cried out that it was her mother come to murder her again. "We will go to the beach to meet her. We will go together," said the second wife. "We will not let her do this deed." And so they went, the two of them, down to the beach together. Silver-tree landed the ship. And she jumped forth. In her hands she had a silver chalice, and she held it out to Gold-tree. "Oh, my daughter, my darling daughter," she said, "will you not taste of this fine wine that I have brought for you?" In our country, said the second wife, in our country it is the custom that whoever will bring the wine must drink of it first. And so it was that Silvertree took a swallow of the wine, meaning simply to hold it in her mouth. But the second wife pushed her, and she swallowed that wine down. And of course, that wine was poisoned, and she fell dead upon the beach. And there was nothing for it, nothing but the sailors should lift her up and carry her back to her own land. Later, of course, the prince came home. And from then on, Goldtree and the prince and his second wife did live together, happily and happily, all the rest of all their days.